Genesis chapter 1. We're going to pick up again in our trying to share with you some truths from these things we can know. Days of uncertainty, days that people struggle about what's right, what's wrong. They don't need to struggle about that. And the Word of God gives us light on what's right and what's wrong. Fact is, it'd do good if everybody in authority would read the Bible and find out what God said about it. It'd help us all. Then do us all of us good to read the Bible and know in our own personal lives what God wants. And we need to always remember that God loves everyone. Nobody is any better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat. We're all a bunch of sinners going to hell without God till Jesus come by. Then he saved us by his marvelous grace and birthed us in the family of God, made us children of God. And all of us are children, and we love all of our children, amen. And God loves all of his children. And I thank God for that. Praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Genesis chapter number 1. Stand, please. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have again to come to the house of God and pray and listen to songs sung and be blessed and helped and encouraged, strengthened. I'm glad, Father, you can do it again. Amen. Father, you have blessed us in days gone by. You have wonderfully answered prayer. You have done exceedingly abundantly above that we could ask or think. And Father, we know you're able still today to do that. So I pray in Jesus' name, have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory, get honor, get praise. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're you that may not have been here before, and I know we have one new visitor, so at least one. Others may have not picked up on all of it, but I'm using this scripture as a springboard because of the fact you must believe that in the beginning God created. Go from there and realize there's darkness, and you're in darkness until you get saved and born in the family of God. Even after we are saved, if we're not careful, we'll let the darkness of this world creep in on us. And we don't need to walk in darkness. We need to walk in the light as he's in the light. And so we use this for that springboard. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want God to give me light. Amen. I want God to he said his word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. I want that light, amen, and follow that, and ask for the old path, and where's the good way, and walk therein, and so that's our heart's desire, prayer to God is, that we can do that as individuals and as a church, and we talked about being saved, we can know that we've been born again, amen, you can know, I said you can know that you've been born again, aren't you glad of that? Then you can know, not only that you've been born again, but you can know that you have eternal security. Yes. That you've been born again and can never be lost. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, that's real. Now tonight, I want to pick up on this thing that we can know. We can know that all things work together for good. Them that love God, them called according to his purpose. We're going to turn there in just a moment. But I'm glad that we can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I was thinking, wow, a lot of the songs tonight kind of lean toward that. And if you'll turn with me back to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to look at verse number 28. Romans 8:28. verse of scripture that we often quote. I'm sorry, about to read verse 27, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to get that verse. We know. We don't have to be in darkness about it. We can know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We that are saved, we that are walking in the light, and we that have the privilege to let God guide us and direct us, we can know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Brother Mickey, I couldn't help but think about you and your situation. I look around and I see other people that's going through situations and heartaches and sorrows, but you can rest assured that all things work together for good. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't understand that either. I don't understand why that I have to have a stool set on to preach. I don't understand why that I hurt. I don't understand why that I go through, and I'm not bad mouthing, groaning, moaning a little bit. Terry, he keeps me straightened out. If I'm murmuring a little bit, he gets me. But what he don't get, my wife does. But until you've gone through something, you don't know what it's like. And when you go through things that you never dreamed of that you go through, you wonder why. Somebody says it's wrong to ask why. Jesus cried on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? If Jesus cried it, I believe I'm certainly much less in the man than he and can cry why. But I know one thing, the Apostle Paul asked for healing 3 times and he didn't get it. God said, but my grace is sufficient for you. So right now I'm just going to depend on grace of God as long as I can. And I believe grace will take me all the way through till I get to heaven. I don't know how much I'll be able to do or when or what's going to happen. I don't know. I just know right now I'm here. I'm trying to preach to you. And I got something tonight I believe will help us. I believe it'll help everybody. You don't know what you're going to have to go through. You don't know what your family's going to have to go through. But you can rest assured of one thing. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he'll go with you all the way. Amen. He'll never forsake you. He won't leave you hanging there. And if Jesus is with us, how can we lose? Hallelujah. You have to crawl in the church. How can you lose if Jesus is with you? I believe that we are winners. Amen. I'm on the winning side. Because I'm on his side. He didn't get on my side. I got on his side. My side was wrong, but his side was right. I got on his side, and I'm a winner now. No matter what comes or what goes, I know that I'm a winner. And I praise God and thank God for that. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going through anything right now. I'm not having a hard time. You just wait around. Just wait a few more days or weeks or months or years, and something will happen. Something will come your way. And you'll find out that you need God and that you need to be sure that you know you're saved, and you'll be sure that you know how long you're saved for, and you want to be sure that God is with you and that you're in the center of God's will. Amen. Y'all with me?
Yes,
now hang with me tonight, and I pray that you'll get this down and get it good so to help us and help all of us. I'm just going to give you some examples now. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, chapter number 3, I believe it is. Daniel, chapter number... Let's make that chapter 2. Change my mind. Let's make that... I don't know what chapter it is. Tell you the truth. Chapter 3. Yeah, chapter 3 is where I want to go to. I want to read you a few scriptures, and I didn't want to read the whole book, but it would have been all right if I had, amen. But you listen to this. And this is when Israel was in Babylon captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar had made his image and calling for all people to worship that image. I want you to look with me in verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have not, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, he really got upset about that thing. He wanted everybody to worship his image, that image that he'd set up, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought them, these men, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, the time that ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? And notice what he put. Who is that God that shall deliver thee out of my hands? Boy, he made a bold statement. Didn't realize who he's dealing with. He was in bad shape from then on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, when he said we're not careful to answer thee, they wasn't saying we're being haphazard about it. They're saying we're not slow to answer you. We're not going to have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. How are we going to answer you about this? Verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now notice what he said, our God's able to deliver us. They believed that with all their heart. But if he didn't, he's going to deliver him out of his hand, out of the king's hand. They didn't know how, but some way. In verse 18, but, there's one of those holy conjunctions, Brother Bill, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and so forth, and heated up the furnace seven times hotter than it wanted. It was usually heated up, and cast the Hebrew children into it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into the burning fiery furnace. It slew the men that cast them in. It got so hot. Verse number 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, a true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not hurt, and from forming the fourth man is like the Son of God. I say hallelujah. That king that boasted of what he was going to do got up in haste, and I believe was trembling while he was doing it, and said, did we not catch three men in there? Lo, I see four men. And said the fourth and like the Son of God. He said, there's something going on down in that fire. Now, what do you think those three Hebrew children was thinking while they were in the fire? What do you think they were thinking while they were taking them to the fire? And the men that took them, they died because the fire was so hot. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego went on into the fiery furnace. Now, what do you think went through their mind? Why? What's this happening for? What's going on? I believe they had probably some questions, but they They didn't know, but they'd already made up their minds they were not going to worship the king's image. And they'd already said, "Oh, king, be it known, we're not going to serve thy gods." They'd already made up their minds what they were going to do and said, "Our God is able to deliver us. And if not, but if not, we're not going to serve thee." That was settled. And we all need to get that settled. We're going to serve God. And our God is able to do it. Just like that song, "He's Able to Do It Again," that Sister Amy sings. I mean, He's able to do it again. He's able to send us real revival. He's able to stir this place. He's able to really set us on fire for God. He's able to see people get under conviction and bring them to Christ and get saved. He's able to do that. And until He does that, we may wonder what's going on. We may wonder. And then there's different things that you hear and different things that's going on and you don't understand, and you want to take people sometimes and shake them. And you say, "Preacher, you never felt that way. You don't know how I feel." Then I looked at myself and said, "Well, I'm not able to do it. I'll get somebody else to do it." You feel that way, but you know that's not the way. God answers prayer. God comes on the scene. God does a better job than I could ever do. And God knows how to work in hearts and lives. And I say to you tonight, these three Hebrew children may have been thinking these thoughts and having some thoughts and all that, but I want you to know, notice what happened when they got out. Here when they got out. This king, he was astounded, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men," and all that. But look in verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar, this is after they got the three Hebrew children out. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." I say hallelujah. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While ago, he was putting God down. Who is that God that'll deliver you out of my hand? Later, just a little bit later, he's saying, "Blessed be that God." Amen. I say hallelujah. May God help us realize, don't you think the three Hebrew, didn't come out right, did it? Don't you think the three Hebrew children, don't you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they heard the king say these words, and they looked at the king and saw him acknowledging their God, that they understood why they had to go through the fire, that they looked back on it and they thanked God they had the privilege to go through the fire, so it could show Nebuchadnezzar, the king, that he ought not talk that way about their God, and that their God was the real God. His gods were false gods. And I believe anybody be blessed to be helped, to help a king see that and the nation see that. And he made a decree that nobody spake against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I say hallelujah. The same old man that said, "Who is that God?" was now saying, "That God, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, us bow to him." I say hallelujah. That's good. Now, you don't know what you're going through. You don't know why you're going through it. But if you look back on it one day, and you'll say, "I see what God was doing." And if you don't get to see it down here, when we get to heaven, God will understand it all better by and by anyhow. Down here on this earth, we don't understand it all, never will. But one day, someday, we shall understand it. I want to share something else with you. It's real good. Y'all still with me, aren't you? There's all kinds of illustrations could be given. All kinds of things could be said. Personal testimonies could be made. But back in the book of Genesis, I went back to Daniel again, back to Genesis, chapter 50. I'm going to bring you up to 50 without trying to read too much. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph, teenagers, listen. Joseph was just a teenager. He went to see about his brothers, wore his coat of many colors. His dad loved him and gave to him. He got there and his brothers hated him because they were jealous of him. They were upset at him, jealous of him. Don't get jealous of other people. They got their failures too, their faults too. Don't get jealous. Don't get upset about it. And this is just a teenager now. Now he goes out there and he's got that something about him that God is using mightily for his glory. But Joseph never did. He didn't understand it all either, but Joseph didn't make any big deal about that for himself or say who I am. He just said, this is the dream that I had. This is the dream that I had. And everything that he said was true. That's what God had done for him. And he just shared with his father and his mother and his brothers. And but his brothers, they got real upset. And they got mad. You be careful about getting upset because you'll be the loser. You'll be the loser. But anyway, I'm chasing a rabbit right there. I thought I'd shoot that one real quick. Get back on trail now. We'll get another. And Joseph went out to see about his brothers, and his brothers first thought about killing him. Then they didn't want to do that. They took his coat and cut it up and put blood all over it like some animal had killed him. But they put him in a pit. The older brother meant to come back later and get him out of the pit and help him, but that didn't work out. While the older brother was gone to see about some sheep, some Ishmaelites came by in a caravan, and the other brothers decided they'd sell him. So they got him up out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. He, being a young man, just a teenager, and now he's being sold into Egypt bondage and going down there to bondage. I can see him now. And the Bible even indicates to us and says that he was looking at his brothers and wondering why. Not in that many words, but I can see him now looking back as he went off with those Ishmaelites, a young man, tender young man, and they sold him out. And those brothers probably were laughing about it. And we got rid of him. We don't have to put up with him anymore, his shenanigans. And so they sold him out, and he went down there. Joseph wept over that. Joseph didn't understand it. Then Joseph got down there, and when he got down there, he put in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife, after a while, after Joseph had matured, and he was taking care of all the Potiphar's business and all that kind of thing. Potiphar was away on a business trip. His wife wanted Joseph to go with her and to have a relationship with her, but Joseph wouldn't do it. Joseph said no. Now, that speaks well for any young person or anybody else. When temptation is really after you and you still say no and get away from it. And Joseph said no. One day he was in the house and she was in the house. He was doing what he's supposed to be doing. But she wanted Joseph so bad that she reached out and got him by the coat and going to make him stay there with her. But he ran and left his coat in her hand and got away. Then she got mad and about that, and she lied about him and told Potiphar when he got home, said, now, Joseph tried to force me. Here's his coat. Here's proof of it. Now, Potiphar, he got upset at him. Here's a young man sold in slavery for no real reason. And here he is in Potiphar's house being lied about. And there he is turning down temptation, living for God and turning down temptation and in a bad situation, but yet live for God and then lied about. And Potiphar had him put in jail. He went into the dungeon. And then while he was there, he prospered. He helped the jailer, those taking care of him. They let him take care of a lot of stuff, because Joseph was so trustworthy. And then you remember the baker and the butler had dreams and how that worked out, and they both got out of the dungeon, and Joseph asked them to remember him. That's all he asked to the king, but they forgot him. And one day the butler remembered that he was down there, and the king needed help with dreams, so he told him about Joseph in the dungeon. They went and got Joseph out. And Joseph helped the king and told him what was going to happen. The famine was going to come, 7 years famine. And so he told him what he needed to do and so forth. And Pharaoh, he just promoted Joseph. and let Joseph be in charge of it, take care of the food situation. And so they'd have plenty of food for the 7 years famine. Not only that, they had food to spare and could sell it to some other people. And his brothers were back there in Canaan, and famine was bad. And they were starving to death. And so they went down there to buy corn. And they got down there. They didn't recognize Joseph. They didn't realize who he was, but he realized who they were. And he went about a process of getting to where he would break the news to them who he was. But he went through a certain process getting there. But when he got there, he wept and fell on his brother's neck and wept and told him who he was and sent for his father. And they brought him down there. But I want you to get these verses. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. That has always intrigued me, how that Joseph could look at his brothers and forgive them and weep over them and realize here, see the result of all that he'd been through as a young man, all that he had endured as a young man. He comes down now to them and says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I say hallelujah. I'm glad tonight. I may think it's evil against me. I may think it's something bad. I may think what's happened ought not. All of that, but God means it for good. And all things work together for good of them who love God. I believe that. I think we can be sure of that. We can know that. And so tonight, you can know, no matter what you're going through. And I thought all through the service about holding this thing up, but I thought, no, it's all moving in the direction I'm going to preach tonight. I want everybody to get it, that God is in charge. God is in charge. And if we'll just let him handle it, let him do what he wants to do, our God is able to help us. I'm glad he does. These days you want to give up. These days you want to, a lot of days you think a lot of thoughts. But thank God, I know all things work together for good to them that love God and the called according to his purpose. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, God, we can know that all things, no matter what it is, it works for good to those that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Lord, we love you tonight. We give you glory tonight. And those things we don't understand, those things that we question, I pray, Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to just believe you, that all things work together for good. Lord, you said that in thy word. You've never lied to us. You've never misled us. You've always been there to help us. So tonight, I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything in our lives, because it works for good. Now, tonight in this house, there may be somebody going through something that they just need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I know it'll work for good somehow. I don't know how. Don't know what's going on, but I trust you. Many have come and prayed already, but maybe they need to come and somebody pray with them. I don't know what we need tonight. Lord, I just shared my heart. Now I pray for a move of God in the invitation. Rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. I pray that Jesus will be exalted and highly lifted up. In his name we pray. Amen.